Torah Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
And she tells him, for 30 years, I have contained this box and I've had this box hidden from you. And he questions her and he says, well, why have you hidden this box from me? What is so special, or what is going on with this box? She tells him, throughout our 30 years of marriage, for every bad sermon you have given, I have placed the egg in this box. He's kind of like, you know, all right, there's three eggs in this box. Throughout 30 years of marriage, I've only given three bad sermons. But then he asks the question, what about the $100 bills? My love, for every dozen eggs I've collected, I sold it to the neighbor for $1. We're talking about a lot of bad sermons. You see, we can't hide anything. You know, I remember when I was young, I grew up in La Paz. And there's some funny things about that. I'm pretty sure everyone in this room can still remember from where they were born, or maybe their address from where they were growing up. I remember my address. I don't live in La Paz anymore. I live in Harahan. But my address in La Paz was 7220. No, actually, see, I'm forgetting. 2405 Van Arpel Drive, La Paz. And that was when I was really young. But I still remember it. But it's pretty funny how I can't remember the things that I learned in school, nor the sermon from last week. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me out. You know, there's something wrong, but there's some things we do remember. And as I was growing up, I remember playing a game, and maybe you do too. Maybe playing hide and go seek. Anyone has played that game before? Hide and go seek. So growing up in 2405 Van Arpel Drive, I remember playing this game, hide and go seek. I was actually probably one of the best, I would say, at hiding, but I was the worst seeker. Whenever it took me to go find somebody, I would stay outside of my house and I would just stay waiting, because I knew eventually the people that were hiding would get so tired that they would come out of their what? Their hiding spots. But when it came to me from hiding, I was the best. I remember one of my neighbors, he had a boat, and in his boat there was like a little cabinet. So I would go hide within this cabinet. And if somebody came to try to open up the door, what I would do is I would hold on to the door, pretending like it was what? Locked. And I remember telling myself growing up, no one is going to find me. No one is going to find me. No one is going to find me. Sadly, we treat sin that same way. No one is going to know. No one's going to find me. A man told this story at his first AA meeting. He'd gone to a party and had too much to drink. And his friends pled with him to let them drive him home. He was like, no, don't worry. I just live a few blocks away from here. I live a mile away. I'm good. The friends let him go and he drove. But a couple of blocks, the police pulled him over. And as you know, the procedure, they pulled him over and they asked him to please get out his car and to walk the line. And as he is about to walk the line, the radio blared out a notice that there was a robbery just around the corner. So the police officer told this guy, stay put, all right? You're going to stay here. I got to go chase this guy. And so the police officer runs, and the guy, he stays waiting for the police officer. And he waited. But he decided to finally just drive home. And then when he got to his house, he told his wife that he was going to bed. And that if anybody came to look for him that night, to tell them that he's been sick all day and he's sleeping right now. A few hours later, the police come. and they knock on the door. And they ask the lady, excuse me, ma'am, does this guy live here? And she says, yes, he's here. Yes, he lives here. And they ask, can we please speak with him? She says, you can't. He's been here all day. He's been sick. And he's sleeping right now. Ma'am, we need to speak with him. He's sleeping right now. Ma'am, could you do us a favor, please? And could you lead us to his car? She says, what's going on? Ma'am, we need you to please open up your garage. As they open up the garage, they see the police car with the lights still on. And for some of you who are still questioning what's going on, the guy took the wrong car. You see, this guy thought he got away with it. And there's nothing you can get away with in this life. There was this other man whom I knew. And to me, he was a great man. He was a friend and a brother. And was a very well-liked man. He was funny. And you know, when you're around funny people, you know, it's just a joy to be around. And he had just like this great smile. You ever seen like those Orbit commercial when they smiled like the blink, you know, in the teeth, right? He just had that smile, like he was smiling. You just feel better being around him. He served the church. He maintained the church. He fixed rental properties for the church. He played in the music group. But there was just something wrong with this man that no one could pick up on. This man had a poker face, or I would like to say this man had a mask. And you could ask him a question, and he would answer as if nothing happened. He would answer like if everything was just okay. And one day, the church had a leadership meeting, and nobody really knew what was going on within this man's life. The church he was attending had so many problems going on. There was just so many things going on. The church wasn't being fruitful. There was basically, the church was basically dying. And so what the church leaders decided to do, they decided to fast and ask God for revival within their church. And they began to seek the presence of God so God would do something within the church to wake up the church. But no one understood what was going on. It reminds me of a story in the Bible, which I hope you opened up your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 6. And there was this young man named Joshua. And do you remember who Joshua was the successor of? Moses. You see, Joshua had a big responsibility. He had to lead the people of Israel, or the people that were basically in Egypt, out into the what? The promised land. And God tells Joshua, be strong and what? Courageous. For I am with you. And let me tell you this morning, God is with you. So be strong and be courageous, for God is with you. But yet there's something interesting about this story, because notice what verse 1 tells us in chapter 6 of Joshua. And it starts off by saying, it talks about this city. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of what? Of the Israelites. And no one went out and no one came what? In. Notice something that is going on in this city of Jericho. They have heard about this guy. This guy named Joshua. And they have heard about the God of what? Israel. And notice how afraid this city of Jericho is at this moment. We're talking about one of the greatest cities. And it's in fear at this moment. That they're so afraid that they have locked everyone basically in and not letting one out of the city. And notice what it keeps on saying, if you can follow with me in verse 2. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into what? Into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all of the armed men and do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in the front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them, sound a long blast on the trumpets. Have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up and every man straight in. I'm going to probably do something a little different this morning that we're not accustomed probably to do. I'm going to blow the horn. And when I blow the horn, I want you guys to give a shout. Are you with me this morning? Can I get an amen? Thank you. Come on, brothers and sisters, I need help this morning. I'm a young guy. I have never preached in the church. Help me out. Give me some slack. All right, I'm going to blow the horn. Are you ready? Not even the walls that Donald Trump is going to build are going to fall with that shout. Come on, let's give him a shout one more time. Ready? All right, probably the walls that Donald Trump will build, but not the walls of Jericho. Those have already fallen. And the Bible says that God has already given Joshua the victory. My brothers and sisters, God has already given you the victory through Jesus Christ. Now, let me explain something, though. I love that movie 300. Has anybody watched the movie 300? Like, it's one of the probably like one of my favorite movies. But you know what I love about war scene movies is when the general starts to like motivate the army and he starts to get them pumped up. And like, you can be watching the movie and you're like, yeah, I'm ready to go to war. But you know nothing about war. And I'm like, oh man, that's me. But Joshua is pumping the city up. And notice what he tells them. Go to verse 17 with me of chapter 6. And as Joshua is like motivating them, Joshua is telling them, yeah, God has given us the victory. And when they heard the trumpets, everybody gave a shout. They knew that victory was about to be theirs. But notice what happens. Joshua tells them in verse 17, the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to who? To the Lord. My brothers and sisters, everything in this world belongs to the Lord. Nothing in this world belongs to you. You live here at this moment, but when you die, you take nothing with you. And if you don't believe me, ask the greatest celebrities, the richest men, when they die just like you and I. They came into this world with nothing, and they will leave with nothing. Everything belongs to the Lord. In verse 17 says that everything is supposed to be devoted to who? To the Lord. But only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her and her house shall be spared because she hid the spies we sent. But verse 18, but keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own what? What does it say? Destruction. Destruction. By taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and to bring trouble on it. And all the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. Brothers and sisters, let me explain something. Joshua basically gave an order to everybody. And what was the command? To bring everything within this city. All the gold, all the bronze, to bring it and leave it like in the middle. And whatever is here is supposed to be devoted to who? To God. And everyone in the city is supposed to be spared except who? Rahab and her family. Now catch this and check this out. He gave this instruction. Pretend like I am Joshua and I am instructing you guys to not touch anything. Obviously, you're not supposed to what? Touch anything. You're supposed to follow the general. The general has given this order. The trumpet sounded and the people ran in. They ran in and God gave Israel the victory. Now, could you imagine destroying one of the biggest cities with the biggest walls? And they didn't do much. Who gave them that victory? It was God. And let me tell you, God is the only one who gives you victories. You're not as smart as what you think you are. You're not as wise. The one who gives us everything comes from above. The sovereign and omnipotent Lord. Now something happens. As they defeat this city of Jericho, the Bible says, now go with me to chapter 7. As they defeat this city of Jericho, one of the biggest cities, now they must face this next city. As the general and as the army is getting ready, they're about to face now the next city. But here's the crazy thing. This city is really small. And notice what's the name of this city. It's called Ai. And notice verse 2, if you can go verse 2 with me. Now it says, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and they spied out what? Ai. And when they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against them. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. And do not weary all the people, for only a few men are what? Are there. So about 3,000 men went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai. Notice what happens. Joshua sends 2 spies to go check out the city. And the report is what? Yo, this city is so small. Don't worry about it. Like, this is nothing. Notice what the Bible says, that the spies reported. Maybe we should send about 2,000, 3,000 men. They weren't really concerned. They just defeated one of the biggest cities, Jericho. This is nothing compared to them. And matter of fact, it is nothing, because guess what? God is with us. And if God is for us, who is what? Against us. And they're going in all confident. But yet, as they marched in, something happens. In the battle of Jericho, does the Bible ever say how many people they lost? None is reported. Who lost people was the city of Jericho. But now we come to the story in chapter 7, where the Bible tells us that the city of Ai, the army of Ai, killed 36 men. And they ran back. They ran back to Joshua and they were like, yo, Joshua, what's going on? Like, we went into the city of Jericho with no problem, but now we come to the city of Ai. They're so small, and they killed 36 of our men. And Joshua receives this report. And Joshua was led to fall to the feet of God. As I was telling you, whom can I hide my sin from? As time went, this man who I mentioned about, he was a good leader within the church. He was also a loving father. He had a beautiful daughter. He was a provider for his wife. He worked day and night to serve his family. And he didn't really care about luxurious things for himself, but he made sure to give the best to his family. He would talk to his daughter on a daily basis, and he would put her into bed, and he would remind his daughter to always find a God-fearing man. And he would sleep with his wife at night, and he would tell her, and he would remind her of how much he loves her. And this man was not only loved within his family, but he had many friends. He was a comedian. He always made people feel great. And they say that laughter is the secret of living long. And I'm pretty sure this guy wasn't going to die anytime soon, because he always made people laugh. He was a very good friend. And he always took people out to eat. one of the things I remember about him was he was worth bringing to the buffets. Like, seriously, that's one thing I got to tell you guys straight up. There's some people in this life that you don't want to pay for them to take them out to the buffet. They're not worth $20, you know, to take them out to eat. There's some people in this life, when you take them to the buffet, you just start questioning yourself. Man, what did I spend these $20 on? They only ate two plates. I could have took them somewhere else. But this guy, he was worth taking to the buffet because he ate everything. Like, this man, I remember, he was like a drainage disposal. That's what I consider. He ate everything and anything. He even ate the leftovers of people at the restaurants. And he was just a great blessing to us. But I never seen this man sad or mad. He was always with that orbit smile that I talked to you about. Now, going back to the story in the Bible, there was this man amongst Israel who hid something from his family and his friends. The Bible tells us that in verse 20 and 21 that this man, he brought with him accursed things. And he brought a garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold. And the Bible says that this man, he hid it from everyone and his family, and he hid it under his tent. Now back then, in those days, let me explain something to you. It's not like today's families where our family only consists of mother, father, son, and daughter. And maybe your grandparents. No, we're talking about in these tents, we're talking about probably a good 10 to 20 people lived in them. And this guy in the Bible in chapter 7 tells us that he hid the 200 shekels. He hid the gold. He hid everything from his family and from people. And no one seen him steal these things. And I questioned it. How can he do this? Like, can you think about it? Let's just take this in consideration. All of the gold and everything is like right here. Like right here. It would be pretty obvious that somebody what? Saw him. It's right. Like it's kind of hard to think about that. He stole it. And if somebody seen him, if you see somebody steal, what would you do? I would hope you would address that person and be like, hey, put it back. Hey, you can't do that. Because what did Joshua tell them? If whoever takes these things that are devoted to God, what's going to happen? A curse is going to bring problems to us. Who would want problems for their family? Who would want problems for their family? Raise your hand. Nobody would want that. And I'm pretty sure everybody here would be like, look, you got yourself into this mess. You ain't bringing stuff into my family, all right? All right, you got your problems, but you better not touch that stuff. All right, we all got problems here, but we don't all need problems from God. And the Bible says that this man, he took and he hid it, which brought me to the question once again, from who can I hide my sins from? The man that I told you that was a leader within the church. He was an honorable man. He was well respected and he was a beloved man. Whom like him, I would say. He was a loving father, a loving husband. A great staff member and a great friend of mine. But he lived his life every day hiding one thing. He lived his life hiding one thing. He was having an affair with somebody for a whole year. And no one knew. When this man would tell his wife that he was going on business trips and he was doing things, he was spending time with someone else. When he would miss events for his daughter, he told her that he was busy working. But yet he consistently reminded her to find a God-fearing man. He had a plan. And he was a smart man to a certain extent. He knew how to hide and cover his trail. And he would ask probably the question, who would ever know? This man was portraying everything was okay from the outside, but from the inside, there was something wrong. And maybe you guys know what I'm talking about. Because when you do something wrong, guilt and the sin, you just can't keep on going. The Holy Spirit, it tells you something like, yo, there's something going on. Something has to change. And this man was going through it. He knew he could hide it from his family. He knew he could hide it from his friends. But there was something that wasn't allowing this leader to be free. There was someone who he couldn't hide his sins from. The Bible talks about this man in chapter 7. And this man who stole the shekels and who stole the gold and who stole the garment. His name was Achan. And he, Achan, was responsible for Israel to lose the battle against the smallest city. Achan was responsible for 36 men to lose their life. Achan was responsible for 36 crying mothers that day. Achan was responsible for probably 20, 30 families to mourn over a son, over a husband, over a father. Achan was responsible. And the day came where he was supposed to be confronted. As Joshua is mourning and Joshua is crying and Joshua is asking God, God, why? Why did we lose the battle against the smallest city? Didn't you promise us that you would be with us? Didn't you promise us victory? Didn't you lead us through Jericho? How come we can't overcome this small city? And God reveals to him somebody within the people sinned. And Joshua begins to investigate. And Joshua finds out who this man is. And Joshua goes to Achan and he asks him a specific question. Verse 19 of chapter 7. And then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and give him the praise. Tell me what you have done and do not hide it from me. Notice what he says. Joshua is to the point where he's like, don't hide it from me. Just confess, admit what you have done. Say what you have done, Achan. The day came also with this leader within the church. He couldn't continue living his life hiding his sin. He couldn't continue pretending. He couldn't continue running to his wife and laying with her, knowing that he was wrong. He couldn't continue telling his daughter to date a God-fearing man. He couldn't continue praising the Lord in the music group. He knew something was wrong and he felt someone was watching him. Someone knew. He knew there was one person he couldn't hide his sin from. And when Joshua asked Achan, tell me what you have done. Achan responded by saying, I have sinned against God. Let me explain something to you this morning, church. You do not sin against man. You do not sin against Pastor David. You do not sin against your husband, nor your wife, nor your children. You sin against, and I sin against, a holy God. No one's going to give me an amen. We sin against a holy God. Who does not delight himself in sin. He is clean and pure. And he is looking for a people And he's coming back for you and I. Achan knew the gig was up. He couldn't hide his sin from anyone. And let me explain to you something. Boy, the sin has its consequences. Sin has its consequences, brothers and sisters, in this morning. And I know sin is not something that we talk about very often within church, but I feel and I've witnessed and I have seen with my own eyes within my young 26 years of life, I have seen great men of God fall. I have seen leaders fall, houses destroyed because of sin. And I would like to warn the church, not only the church, but myself. This was actually one of the first sermons I've ever preached. And the Lord revealed to me that day when I wrote this sermon. Remember one thing, you serve a holy God and you and I serve a holy God. Sin has its consequences. Please listen to me. I'm not trying to scare you, but sin has its consequences. And let me tell you one other thing. I don't know when your consequences will come. I don't know that, and it's not my job to tell you when. But I will tell you one thing. God is a fair God. And he is a judge. Your sins, your consequences may not come today. Nor they may not come tomorrow. They may not come within a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3, 6 months. Maybe a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20. But I am sure of these next words I'm about to say. Your consequences will come. Verse 22 tells us. So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent and they brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, verse 24, took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, and the gold wedge, and his sons and his daughter, his cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And look where they took him, to the valley of what? Achor. And Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble upon us? Brothers and sisters, everything that Achan owned was put to death and burnt that day. Achan thought he got away with sin. He thought no one would know. But little did he know, someone knew. Someone knew. And he paid the consequences for his sin. Achan and his family, along with his possessions, were killed and burnt. And notice what verse 26 says. And over Achan they heaped up the large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned down from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor. Ever what? Ever since. Do you know what that word anchor means? It means trouble. Valley of trouble. Valley of disaster. The woman who this man was having an affair with one day came to the church and she confirmed it. She revealed his affair to the pastor, to the family, to the friends. And everyone was in shock that day. No one knew. No one assumed it. But the Bible tells us something in Numbers chapter 32, verse 33. You can put it on. And it says, be sure your sin will find you out. Numbers 32, verse 33. Be sure your sin. 23, sorry. You had it right. 23. Hey. And be sure your sin will find you what? Out. Eventually, this leader was stepped down, having to separate from his wife and his family. You see, there was consequences for his sin also. He lost his title, his position, his family, his friends, his dignity. He thought no one would ever know. And though it was revealed by the woman, not by him, there was someone who knew this before it even occurred. There was only one person who it did not catch by surprise. Church, God knew it. And God knows everything. There's not one thing you and I can hide from God. The Bible says in Psalms 139, verse 11 and 12, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Nothing can be hidden from God. You see, we can hide our sins from loved ones. We can hide our sins from friends. We can hide our sins from leaders, from the pastor. You can come to church this morning and you could have greeted me, or you could have greeted a brother or sister, and let me tell you, hide something. You and me, me personally, me right here can be on this altar hiding something from you. I am not perfect and neither are you. And it is time for the people of God to realize we're not meant to be perfect, but we are to confess our sins to the holy God who is faithful to forgive us. Achan lost everything. And we should be facing the same punishment as Achan. Oh, but thank God Almighty that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on that cross. And I have good news for you today, this morning, my brothers and sister. Although Achan did have to face death, our debt has been paid on the cross. And now we don't have to live in fear, worrying about dying for our sins, because the Lamb already went on that cross for you and I. And for that reason, you should rejoice and you should worship the Lord every single day. And his name shall be on your lips, and you should praise him for the wonders and the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Never should you and I be tired to worship and give him thanks. And if you ain't got nothing to be thankful for, you better thank God for Jesus Christ. Let me explain. Yeah, the money may not be good in your bank account. Oh, but Jesus Christ is good enough. Yeah, you may not be living in that house you want, but let me tell you, Jesus Christ is enough. Do you remember what that valley of acre meant? It meant disaster and what? Trouble. Go with me to Hosea chapter 2, verse 15. Because notice what God does to this valley. Then I will give her vineyards from them, and the valley of Acre as a door of what? Say it with me. A door of what? Look into your neighbor and say, hope. This valley that was considered to be a valley of disaster, a valley of trouble. Notice what it changes to. Notice what God changes it to. A valley of what? Hope. My brothers and sisters, what may have been trouble or disaster for you, Jesus Christ can change it into hope. He is our living hope, and he is sufficient. Hope can come from our past our struggle. But we must do one thing. We must repent and stop hiding sin. This leader had to face punishment. But he knew he couldn't hide for much longer. He repented from his ways. He started seeking help, counseling. Thank God for counseling. And years have gone by, this man has become a faithful servant of God, who has rekindled his relationship with his family and friends. He is now a counselor himself for men who struggle with pornography and men who have committed affairs. He is now able to help others. Where there was disaster, God changed his life to give hope now to those who are broken. My brothers and sisters, whom can I hide my sins from? You can hide your sins from loved ones, friends, church leaders, pastors. But we can never hide our sins from the all-knowing and living God. What sins are we hiding today? And as I tell my church after every Sunday, let us repent and go and sin no more. Bow with me in prayer.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.